You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, hosting Right Side Radio, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are heading into one of my favorite segments of the week. Copper, ready the sound effects. We do have Dale Jackson on the line. I do believe that our brethren, Jeff Poor, is not going to be able to make it. But Copper, let us assemble the Grand Council.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. With the horns that are always cut off in mid-blow there. There are two out of three here. I pronounce a quorum. Therefore, we may proceed with business. All right, my brother Dale, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and it's my fault Jeff's not here. I take full responsibility. Sorry about that, Jeff.
What, did you infect him with COVID? What did you do?
He was on my the taping of my TV show, and we ran a little late. And I think it cost him a spot in line at the doctor's. 100% my fault. 100% my bad.
Well, it's his risk. See, what's going to happen now is we're going to talk bad about him because he's not here. me and my buddy used to always say, if you ain't here, we're talking about you. Yep. But anyway. All right. Well, nonetheless, the rules still apply. We ping questions off each other and see where they go. So I'm going to let you start, my brother.
Okay, my question is, I've been working on this thing, trying to make the argument that we gave businesses protections at the beginning of the pandemic and said, hey, you can get your workers back and they can't sue you if they get sick with COVID. Well, now those same businesses want to run people out because they won't get the vaccine mandate. Does the state of Alabama have some sort of responsibility to protect those workers from those vaccine mandates? And will they?
What a wonderful question. It's going to lead to the question that I have next. But before I just spill the beans on that. So, yeah, that law we passed earlier in the year was a tad different than what you're saying. So I helped advocate for that back in the day, because what we saw were the advent of frivolous lawsuits, where basically someone could walk in the door and get their hair cut and then get COVID a few days later and go, you know what? I think that barber didn't wear his mask, and then go back and sue the barber shop. All we did was say, you're right, your cause of action still applies, but your threshold of burden of proof, they call it,
is
much higher. It has to be what they call clear and convincing evidence. And so that basically means you can't bring a frivolous lawsuit. You better know what you're talking about. So there's that. Now, as to, we have a new thing now. There's a bill being floated out there right now. Arnold Mooney, I think Andrew Sorrell and some others have a bill that says, but if your employer forces you to get vaccinated, well, if that's the case, if they force you to get vaccinated to avoid losing your job, and then you have an adverse reaction, you get sick, or for that matter, you die, you are allowed to file suit, or your family can file suit on your behalf if you're dead. So that's coming, and that bill is going to be talked about. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be talked about at the very least.
I just don't think that goes far enough, personally. I think, we protected these businesses before the pandemic started. I think these workers should be protected as well. I think that it is really, really sad that we're basically saying, hey, thanks for working during this pandemic at the hospital or the grocery store or anywhere, being a frontline worker, now get out.
Well, you bring up an excellent point, so I will go to my question. And the background for my question, brubba, comes from a letter. This is a press release that just went out, like, during my show. Something the Alabama Policy Institute signed on to. There was a letter that was done, and the umbrella organization is a group that calls itself Concerned Doctors. So concernedoctors.org, you can check them out. But it's a group of doctors around the state of Alabama. I know several of them personally, along with other groups like Alabama Policy Institute, Physicians for Alabama, Focus on America, a number of state representatives, and Eagle Forum of Alabama. Anyway, they all signed on, and the gist of it, Dale, is that what they're asking is for Governor Ivey to put a vaccine mandate ban into the call for special session. My question to you is, do you think she will go down that road?
I think she should. It'd be great for her reelection. I mean, absolutely. It would be exactly what she needs to do. I think that the people, it's basically, we're asking for the same thing. And I think that that's great. And I want to see it. I want to see that. And I think it's very important that they move on that, because I just think it's wrong. I think wrong. These people who have given themselves, and they have. Let's be real. People in the hospitals have died. People in grocery stores have died. And, you know, they've put that risk out there, and we're just throwing them to the wayside. And I think that's crazy.
It is. And, you know, the other thing is, too, the vaccine mandates. You got people who have been on the front lines in the healthcare industry, for that matter, for the last year and a half. They've been going to work every day unvaccinated, and suddenly they're going to be mandated. And it really removes personal choice. It puts the government in between a doctor and their patient. And it's something that, you know, and to hear Attorney General Steve Marshall talk about it, the only reliable case precedent you can look at only deals with state law mandates, not federal mandates. And so I think we have to see something like this, and I hope they do go down this road. I don't know if she has the political will, and I do think though that what we're going to see is Scott Harris, who I am more and more concerned with what I consider to be sort of a fecklessness coming from Scott Harris, as he literally responds to the fact that we're not getting monoclonal antibodies the way we used to. We're being penalized by Department of Health and Human Services all of a sudden. And where's Scott Harris? His response is like, wow, we don't know why that's happening. Whereas other states are saying, we're going to fight like hell to make sure it doesn't happen.
Right.
So anyway, there's that.
But, you know, the thing about this, and, you know, because Jeff's not here, it gives us more time to talk about it, I guess. He's here. All right. The idea behind this, I think, and everyone seems to be almost on the same page, is we have to help the people that have done the most. And to tell them, you know, doctors and stuff, that they got to go, that's a real problem. And in Idaho and Rhode Island, I think at UAB even, they said, okay, we're going to kick this back a little bit. Well, why are they kicking it back? Well, they need them. So as soon as they don't need them, they're going to throw them out? Come on. That's wrong.
That's wrong, and I think the mandates are falling apart even as we speak. But hey, I want to welcome. We already had a quorum, 2 out of 3, but apparently we have number 3 with us. Is that Jeff Poor? Are you on the line, my brother?
It's the one and only.
Well, we are glad you are here. So Dale and I have already opined at great length, and at the risk of asking a question we may have already talked about, I'm going to throw it to you. You got a question for us?
I guess so. Let's talk about this new poll here with the Senate race. And just know what you guys make of it. My initial impression on it, it's a public opinion strategies poll, reputable firm, but we don't know a lot of the details. We only know what the Washington Examiner has told us. What do you guys think? Am I wrong to think this? Mo Brooks doesn't seem to be moving much at all. And Katie Britt, I mean, this seems like a very stagnant race. Should any of these candidates be concerned?
Dale, you first.
I don't think so. I mean, look, if I'm Katie Britt, I'm not happy that I'm not moving. If I'm Mo Brooks, I'm not happy I'm not moving, but I'm okay where I am. I think he can pull 9 of the 39 percentage points that are undecided and get by without a runoff at this point. If this is where we are, and I'm Mo Brooks, I'm looking pretty good. If I'm Katie Britt, I haven't really moved either, but I got a lot of ground to make up, and I better start moving soon.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. I think it's way early for this to be an effective poll. I mean, it could be a polling of what we have now, but in terms of its impact on the final vote in the primary, I think so. I'm not going to be a bit surprised, though, to see Linda Blanchard drop out of the race, and since she was Trump-affiliated, I would not be a bit surprised to see most of her 3% in that poll switch over to the Mo Brooks and lift him a few points. Katie Britt, she's definitely sort of holding her own right now in double digits, but you're right, she's not progressing. But I still think it's way early to predict how this is going to go, because in politics, even a week is a lifetime. So,
and if you look behind Katie Britt, the Motor City Madman and Jessica Taylor, Ted Nugent, he can push her over. He can get her up to 11 or 12.
I got to be honest. I thought it was actually kind of cool to have Ted Nugent. I mean, I want to put some cat scratch fever or, you know, something on just to honor it. But I don't think that's going to be as big as getting a Trump endorsement like Mo Brooks. So yeah, that's going
to
be.
Well, if you're Mo Brooks, you're up 4-1. You got to feel good about that.
Go with
the
it,
margin
Jeff.
Of error of Jessica Taylor is of Katie Britt. And that's something that might concern me. Look, I think this is a 50. This could be, if you could get that runoff, you're in second place, your chances increase significantly. Jessica Taylor and Katie Britt are playing for second place. That's where I might be concerned if I'm Katie Britt.
Well, that's a good point. You know, the race for number 2 is a great point. All right, fellas, we got to head into that short break we usually take right about now. So just hang on, Ground Council. We'll be right back after this with Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN. I'm Phil Williams, hosting Right Side Radio, and you are listening to The Grand Council. We'll be right back after this. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio on the News Talk Powerhouse for North Alabama. This is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are back with the Grand Council. I have my brethren Dale Jackson from WVNN, and we've got our buddy Jeff Poor, formerly of VNN, now down on the coast at 106.5. All right, fellas, we're back on the Grand Council. Dale, I think you are up.
I kind of want to ask a question here, and you know, it's about the prison situation, and it's like I've been a big believer that this was theater, and maybe they wanted the feds to take over. It doesn't really look like that right now. It looks like they may have come up with a deal in that smoky room, and they've come out, and they've emerged, and now they have something they're going to vote on in 5 days. Is this real?
Jeff, I'll let you go first, man.
Yeah, so I have been looking for Republican opposition to this, and I've, you know, called around, talked to a lot of these guys on and off the record about it, and there's some small things that they take issue with in this prison proposal, but for the most part, I think these lawmakers have acknowledged, look, this is the best deal, this is the least of all possible evils. We don't like borrowing money or prisons and spending money on prisons, but look, $150 million surplus in the general fund. You got this money from the federal government, and we're told that we don't know for a fact whether the Biden administration is going to green light it, but this ARPA money that can be applied toward it. And then on top of that, you have, if they bond it, interest rates are very low. So I think they've been able to woo a lot of Republicans, and you're going to have near unanimity in the Republican caucus. The question is, what will the Democrats do? Now, I know a few of the Democrats will push back, particularly Senator Billy Beasley from Clayton down in the eastern part of the state. But I think a lot of the Democrats, including Chris Ingland, are kind of holding out, going to use this as a bargaining chip maybe for something else like Medicaid expansion.
I think you're totally right, and I agree. And I think the thing that finally kicked them over the edge was the fact that they saw Kay Ivey's plan crumble, in part because liberals got to the lenders and made sure it couldn't be financed, and that developed some background angst or anger. But then I think the other thing is, and you nailed it, Jeff, they got one-time money. And one-time money always drives, you know, decisions-making like this. And so the one-time money that came in under the federal relief for COVID suddenly makes a difference. But I think there's also a reality that's setting in. Some of the best bills, and truthfully, some of the worst bills I ever saw, took more than 1, 2, 3, 9 sessions sometimes to even get passed. And this is an example. I think they've been banding about how to make it happen and suddenly being given one-time money to help with the process, and the fact that they need to step in now because the governor said, I guess I do need you, legislature. They're working, and they're going to get something done. Dale?
Yeah, I think you guys might be right, and I'm going to own the fact that I might have been wrong on this. I know it sounds crazy. It happens occasionally.
Hang on a second. Put at 4:26 p.m. on the 23rd of September, Dale Jackson said he may be wrong. Okay, we're going to move right past that. All right, Jeff, we got very little time, man. You want to throw a question out?
Well, the last question, I guess, is where are we with gambling these days? You know, the dog track owners are making some noise. They're wanting a special session, which is not going to happen. But man, that was a discussion that seemed to have gone nowhere. That it's disappeared off the radar. Where do you guys think we are?
I think that they're going to wind up trying to bring it up again in the regular session. Greg Albritton has already said that he will. Of course, he has the Porch Creeks in his district. But I really believe that in an election year, They're going to be hard-pressed to get the full-blown package. And that was an abominable package they had last time. Giving monopolies to the former bad actors who've been breaking the law for years was just an awful way of doing anything. And I don't think that bill is going to come back. But, Dale, real quickly, on you.
No, I think you're right. I think we're not really going anywhere anytime soon on this. Maybe they make some sort of deal for the prisons that involves the gambling or something like that. I just don't see it. No.
No, I don't either. I don't either, fellas. All right, yes or no question to end our time together. Will the Alabama Democrats ever field a statewide candidate for 2022? Yes or no, Dale?
Yes, they will. They will field either one of the mayors from Montgomery or from Birmingham and make that person a national star, because they'll fight Kay Ivey or they'll fight Mo Brooks.
Okay, well, that's more than a yes or no, but I'll take it. Jeff, what do you think? Yes or no, Alabama Dems going to have a statewide candidate for 2022?
They will, but it won't be the what you have Democratic establishment in Alabama. It won't be an approved candidate.
Okay, so it's going to be somebody who just feels the need to have to get their name on a ballot, and it won't really go anywhere, is what you're saying.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree. I don't think they're going to have a legit candidate. I think the state party for Democrats is in disarray more than I'd ever thought they would be with Chris England chairing it, but there you are. All right, gentlemen, thank you for your time. The Grand Council shall be adjourned. You guys have a great day. That's Dale Jackson from WVNN and Jeff Poore down at 106.5 on the coast. Appreciate you both. Thank you much. All right, folks, that was the Grand Council. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. I enjoy that segment. I mean, and by the way, that's not scripted at all, man. We come out there, each one of us has some questions, and we just sling them and see what happens. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But I tell you what, I learn something every single time, because one of those guys always has a nuance or an opinion that down an angle that I hadn't thought of, and I love that. Yeah. All right. Well, folks, we come back from this. The last part of my triple dipper, the last part, pushing back on liberalism, actually works sometimes. Things can happen, and I'm going to give you just kind of a melting pot of stories to encourage you to understand that when you push back against liberal progressives, sometimes you make some ground, and I'll let you know more about that when we come back from this break. And by the way, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. Love to hear from you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio.